Hi, Rach Gomez here with a new edition of From the Bookshelf. Today we are continuing to read from The Motorcycle Diaries, A Journey Around South America by Ernesto Che Guevara, translated by Anne Wright and published by Verso in 1995. We are continuing reading from chapter entitled Chile in Retrospect. When I jotted down these notes, in the heat of my early enthusiasm and first impressions, what I wrote included a few wild inaccuracies and was generally not in the approved spirit of scientific inquiry. Anyway, I don't think I should express my current ideas about Chile now, more than a year after I made the notes. I rather do a praise of what I wrote then. Let's start with our medical specialty. Healthcare in Chile generally leaves much to be desired. I realized afterwards that it was much better than in other countries I visited. Totally free hospitals are very few and far between, and you see this sort of notice. How can you complain about the treatment you receive if you don't contribute to the upkeep of this hospital? Nevertheless, medical attention in the north is generally free, but hospital accommodation has to be paid for, ranging from derisory sums to virtual monuments to legalized robbery. At the Chuquimata mine, sick or injured workers get medical attention and hospital treatment for 5 Chilean escudos a day, but patients not from the plant pay between 300 and 500 escudos a day. Hospitals are generally poor and lack medicine and adequate facilities. We saw badly lit and even dirty operating rooms, not just in small towns, but indeed in Valparaíso. There aren't enough instruments. The toilets are dirty. Sanitary awareness in Chile is poor. Chileans have a custom, which I saw afterwards all over South America, of not throwing used toilet paper in the lavatory, but on the floor or in the boxes provided. The Chilean standard of living is lower than in Argentina. In the south, wages are very low. Unemployment is high and workers get very little protection from the authorities, better, however, than provided in the north of the continent. All this causes waves of Chileans to emigrate to Argentina, searching for the proverbial streets paved with gold, which clever political propaganda has offered the inhabitants to the west of the Andes. In the north, workers in the copper, nitrate, and sulfur mines are better paid, but the cost of living is much higher. They lack many essential consumer goods, and the climate in the mountains is very harsh. I remember the eloquent shrug of the shoulders with which a manager of the Chuquimata mine answered my questions about compensation paid to the families of the 10,000 or more workers buried in the local cemetery. The political scene is confusing. This was written before the elections which Ibáñez won. There are 4 presidential candidates, of whom Carlos Ibáñez del Campo seems the most likely winner. His retired soldier with dictatorial tendencies and political ambitions similar to those of Perón, and the people see him as a sort of caudillo. His power base is the Popular Socialist Party, which is supported by various minor factions. In second place, I think, is Pedro Enrique Alfonso, the official government candidate. His politics are ambiguous. He seems friendly with the Americans and flirts with all the other parties. The standard bearer of the right is Arturo Mate Larraín, a big shot who is the son-in-law of the late President Alessandri and has the support of all the reactionary sectors of the population. And lastly, there is Salvador Allende, the Popular Front candidate. He has the support of the Communist Party, but their votes have been reduced by 40,000, the number of people deprived of the right to vote because of their affiliation to the party. Ibáñez will probably follow a policy of Latin Americanism and play on the hatred of the United States to win popularity, nationalize copper and other mines, knowing the enormous deposits the U.S. has ready to start production in Peru doesn't make me very confident that nationalizing these mines will be feasible, at least in the short term. Continue nationalizing the railways and substantially increase Argentine-Chilean trade. As a country, Chile offers economic possibilities to anyone willing to work as long as he is not from the proletariat, that is to say, anyone who has a certain amount of education and technical knowledge. The land can sustain enough livestock, especially sheep, to provide for its population and enough cereals. It has the mineral resources to make it a powerful industrial country. Iron, copper, coal, tin, gold, silver, manganese, nitrates. The main thing Chile has to do is to get its tiresome Yankee friend off its back. A Herculean task, at least for the time being, given the huge U.S. investment and the ease with which it can bring economic pressure to bear whenever its interests are threatened. And well, that's it from me for today on The Bookshelf. I'm Bridget Gámez.